welcome to the Carolina Snowflakes podcast, where two Southerners come to terms with their liberal snowflake tendencies. We're your hosts. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Jason. And we're here with episode number 12 of the Carolina Snowflakes podcast. We're calling this one A Definitive Guide to QAnon. So in my life, there's been quite a few times when I've realized the power of symbols. I remember being in seventh grade and we had our field day and everybody had their little markers out and we were drawing on each other's shirts. And I had a hat and I had drawn symbols on the hats, just things that I liked. And at the time I was really into Green Day and some of the more punk rock bands. And I had seen the symbol. It was an A with a circle around it. The anarchy symbol.
Anarchy, right.
I know that now, but at the time I didn't know what it meant.
You just thought it was cool
looking. I thought it looked cool. Mm-hmm. So I drew it on my little hat and this little conservative Christian girl comes up to me and tells me that it's, do you know what that symbol means? And I was, no, I have no idea. She's like, it means you worship the devil and blah, blah, blah. She, I think, had it mixed up with the pentagram. But either way, she didn't know what it meant, but it very much offended her.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what it meant, but I thought it was really cool.
And it was a symbol.
And it was
meant
a symbol.
Something to both of you, even
it
though
triggered
you...
Both yes.
were kind of wrong.
It triggered emotions. It triggered strong reactions in both people, even though neither one of us knew what we were really talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a few things like that happen. Have you ever had something like that happen to you?
Yeah, I have. In middle school, I used to like to go to Spencer's Gifts in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that store?
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to sell like stickers and embroidery patches and things.
Yeah, yeah.
And
iron-on patches.
Yeah, and I bought a patch and put it on my jeans. And wore it to school.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a girl come up to me and stop me. And she was like, do you even know what that means?
Hmm.
And I'm like, no. And she's like, it means you're a drug dealer.
A drug dealer?
Well, it was an eight ball.
Oh.
It was an eight ball patch.
Oh, I see.
And I mean, I had no idea
right.
that there was reference to anything drug related with that.
You just thought it looked cool.
I just really liked the way that it looked. It was black and white and it was eight ball and I was familiar with pool.
Yeah. So you just thought it was neat.
Yeah. And even still, though, she wasn't exactly right either.
Exactly.
I wasn't a drug dealer and, and an eight ball image doesn't necessarily mean that you're a drug dealer, especially when you're 13.
Right.
Come on, lady.
Exactly.
You know. But yes, symbols, symbolism. So
that's very interesting because what that means is that these things that neither party knows what they means are able to trigger the other one. And I think there's a modern example of that, which would be QAnon.
Yes.
I think a lot of people, even people who support it and are involved in the movement, don't really know what it means or where it came from. And then a lot of people who are just oblivious to the whole thing. But these symbols are very powerful and they're triggering very powerful emotions in people and they're causing dramatic action to happen in our world.
Yeah, they're taking something that's intangible and having real world effect.
Yeah, and I think might be useful to inform people as much as we can about what this symbol is and what it means and the depths that it goes to.
Yes.
I personally have done a lot of research on this topic because it's a crazy, crazy rabbit hole that's fun to go down into.
It is. And it's like there really isn't a bottom.
No.
It just keeps
goes on
going.
Forever. Yeah.
And there's so many layers and levels and intermixing and crossing overs.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fascinating story. And I think if you understand it, you might understand a little bit more about what's going on in our world right now and why.
And also why it matters that you know.
So to begin the story of QAnon, we have to go way back in the olden times of 2016, 2017, maybe.
So long ago.
Yeah. On 4chan, it was very popular in a lot of their boards to post as if you were a high up official in the government somewhere and are disseminating code to people and they would try to figure out what you were saying. And so there were people that would post as like FBI Anon, which means anonymous, FBI Anon. And then they would say something about the FBI or historian Anon. And there was one where, you know, Thomas Jefferson was working for the British government the whole time and the United States government knew. And here's some proofs of it. And people would eat this up. It's a game they would play on the internet for fun.
Right. It's like solving a puzzle.
Yeah,
or
it's make-believe.
Playing that game Clue.
Yeah, it's alternative history make-believe fun time. And, you know, in a board where people had nothing to do, this was something to do back in this time period. And one day, a person came out on 4chan and said that they were QAnon. And Q was a reference to their clearance level in the government, which isn't really a thing, by the way, but that doesn't matter.
They said they were so high up.
They had Q clearance,
mm-hmm. which, as we know, isn't real.
No. I would have liked it if it was a reference to Star Trek. If you've seen The Next Generation or even Deep Space Nine, Q is a major character. And would have liked it if it had something to do with that, but it doesn't. So if you're thinking that, alas, it is not that.
Yeah, sorry, Trekkies.
Yeah. So this guy Q posts and he says Hillary Clinton is going down. She is going to get arrested for her emails, the Podesta thing. It's all coming down. And this was shortly after Trump had been elected. And they loved it. I mean, even though it didn't happen, the 4chan loved the idea of this QAnon guy with clearance who's got dirt on the Clintons.
Right, because who doesn't love dirt mm-hmm. on the Clintons?
And that sort of is the very beginnings of where this whole story starts. So at this time, there was a young man by the name of Frederick Brennan. He is a computer programmer. At this time, he was 19 years old, and he lived in Brooklyn, New York. And this man is afflicted with a disease that's commonly called brittle bones disease. He's a little teeny tiny guy. He's broken his bones hundreds and hundreds of times.
Yeah, brittle bones is a severely debilitating disease that basically it's like you're 100 years old mm-hmm. in a 15-year-old's body.
Yeah, and so he's experiencing this. He's 19 years old. Like I said, I've set the scene. That's what's happening on 4chan. He is big into the incel community. He's a big online 4chan anonymous person. He likes that whole scene. As a 19-year-old who has a debilitating disease, I could kind of understand where he was coming from.
A little bit. You can understand his bitterness.
Yeah, I was pretty angry at 19 and I didn't have anything remotely like what he had to deal with. So I can imagine he was pretty angry. And he also wanted to create like the next big message board. He thought that 4chan was too much anime and too much shit he didn't care about. He wanted to condense it down, the nitty gritty of 4chan, and make it into its own image board. Mm-hmm. And so he created an image board that he called 8chan or 8channel, where he wanted people to have complete unbridled free speech. This was his plan.
Right, because he believed that mm-hmm. full freedom of speech mm-hmm. was best.
Yeah, it was sort of the libertarian idea. You know, mm-hmm. you just, no rules are the best.
No censorship.
Yeah, kind of ties into that anarchy symbol I was talking about earlier. This all ties in together. So, yeah, that experiment didn't really work out that well, but that's putting the cart before the horse. So what happened was he created this image board and it started gaining in popularity. And then over on 4chan, Q had his account hacked. And it was notoriously easy to hack accounts on 4chan. And for technical reasons, you can't change your password if you don't want to be anonymous. Because Q couldn't be anonymous. He had to have an account. They had to know that it was always coming from the same person. So it's called a TRIP account. That means people can see who you are. And TRIP accounts are very easy to hack. And his password got let out. It was Matlock. And if you entered that password, you could post as Q. Anybody could post as Q, which means his security had been compromised.
Right. And people actually began logging in as Q.
And posting whatever they wanted.
Posting as Q.
Mm-hmm. I think you can still do it today on 4chan. If you type in the right things and use the password Matlock, it will still look like your Q when you post. Still to this day.
But that meant that other members didn't necessarily know who was
Q.
When Q really was posted.
Right. And so what happened was the board moderator on 4chan verified that this was the real Q. And he said, I'm moving my whole operation over to 8chan because 4chan is compromised. And this Frederick Brennan guy has this tiny little message board that's full of a bunch of Nazis and incels. And now all of a sudden Q's there. And that brings a lot of people from 4chan.
Yeah, the Q herd follows and goes to 8chan.
And when that happens, he can't really afford to keep the site running anymore. It's too expensive. There's too much data. And him being a little guy with brittle bones disease, he was going to have to shut it down. And he gets a phone call one day from a man named Jim Watkins. Now, Jim Watkins is technically the owner of 2Channel. 2Channel is the original forum that started in Japan where all these got their names from. It's just like the other ones. It's just the Japanese version. And this guy, Jim Watkins, says, hey, I live in the Philippines in Manila and healthcare is really cheap here. And I've heard you have having trouble, you might want to shut down 8channel. What if I fly you here and we take care of you and you can stay on our big illustrious estate and we can run 8channel together?
We'll be partners.
Mm-hmm. And Frederick Brennan, he didn't have another choice. So he was like, okay, that sounds pretty good.
Because he genuinely believed in 8chan.
Mm-hmm. And he read on Wikipedia that Jim Watkins ran two channels. So he thought, well, this guy knows what he's doing. Two channel is massive. You have to understand, and massive in Japan, bigger than 4-8chan is here. Two channel is a major thing in Japan. It's like Facebook. And so he was like, this dude's got a lot of clout. I'm going to go with him. So he goes to Manila and he stays with this guy, and he immediately realizes that Jim Watkins guy is a nut. He's a pornographer, like in the stereotypical sense of the word. He owns a lot of porn websites. He's sleazy.
He owns and runs porn websites. Yeah. Yes.
And he has for a long time. He's very sleazy. And Frederick doesn't like the guy, and he is really pushing the alt-right conspiracy QAnon shit. And Frederick just stopped feeling that. Like, he was never really into that anyway. He was a incel. He wasn't
an
alt-right.
He was a purist incel.
Yeah. That wasn't really his bag. He wasn't trying to do that. So he kind of lived his own life in Manila. He got married, which for an incel is terrific. He started going to church, and he just wanted out of 8chan altogether. He just said, you guys can run 8chan. I'm going to work on 2-channel, because it's like he really liked translating Japanese and things that he was doing on 2-channel. So he just kind of tapped out of it then. And that means that this Jim Watkins fellow, who's a crazy alt-right conspiracy man, is now running 8-channel. And essentially, Q's account gets compromised on 8-channel. And the only person who can verify that it's him is the person who runs the board. And that's where this fellow named Paul Ferber comes in. Paul lives in Johannesburg, South Africa. He is a huge right-wing conspiracy nut. He started a forum called The Calm Before the Storm, where he was really gung-ho on QAnon.
Was that on Reddit?
Yeah, it was on Reddit. And he started the forum. The original forum was on 8chan.
Oh, I
because
see.
You can start boards if you pay. You can start your own board. And he had started his own individual board that he was the moderator of on 8chan that was pro-Q. And this guy, Paul Ferber, he's got a New Zealand accent, and he's a gung-ho for Q. Q knows everything. He's nuts. And he's the only person who can verify Q when his account gets compromised, because he can look at the board and see the IP addresses of who's posting. So now he has control over Q. He isn't Q, or maybe he is. There's no way to know. But he at least is the only person in the world who can verify that things are coming from the real Q. And the anonymous community started to resent that in Paul Ferber. A lot of people did. Because he started to sort of imply that he had a special relationship with Q, and that he was just giving info out to the community willy-nilly at his desire. And this was very upsetting to the community. And so when his account was hacked again, Paul came in and said, like, this isn't the real Q. And then Q said, okay, the whole thing's been compromised. I need Jim Watkins to verify, and we need to ditch this board. And that's when they moved to Reddit, which was the Calm Before the Storm Reddit.
Okay, I see.
And this Paul Ferber fella had went on to InfoWars to promote it and say, now we're going on to Reddit. Because, see, the 8chan and 4chan are hellholes, and they couldn't get the baby boomers and normal people to go to these
normal
places.
Normal average internet users do not visit 4chan or 8chan.
Right, not
so
at all.
So you're not going to get your message out and about into the real world unless you start going mainstream.
And this Jim Watkins and Paul Ferber fellows, they really wanted to get this into the mainstream. So what Paul did is he went on InfoWars, which is a little bit more modern. That's the Alex Jones.
I mean, it's nuts, absolutely crazy, but he does have a following.
Right, and he pushes the Reddit on there, the Calm Before the Storm, TCTS Reddit. It's since been taken down. That Reddit doesn't exist anymore, but that's where they all went. And it moved from there to Facebook and to the Facebook groups. And now by 2020 has infiltrated everywhere, and your neighbors are into it. I mean, it's everywhere. And the important part of that history is to understand who these folks are. These are sketchy people. Jim Watkins, the guy that runs 8chan, he was accused of stealing 2chan from the guy who originally created it, a Japanese guy. Frederick Brennan didn't know that when he went down there, and then since found out and has actively worked to shut down 8chan. He's completely against it. This is the guy who started it, the little brittle bones disease-year-old, 19-year-old. He's completely against it now, but Jim Watkins runs it. His son, Ron Watkins, even shadier. They're very eccentric people, and it kind of covers up their alt-right insanity because people focus on the little things. So, like, he does YouTube videos where he unboxes expensive fountain pens, and he sings hymns, and he has a pig farm, and people see all that, and they don't look past to see how sleazy this dude really is. Mm-hmm. He's gross. And that all matters because these are the people who are in charge of Q. These are the people who are putting this information out there into the world. So when you see somebody that's a Q supporter, they're listening to these people.
Right.
These shady people from the worst parts of the internet that stole things from each other, lied, cheated, hacked each other. And that's who you're believing. And I feel like that's a really important part to the story because it doesn't really have much to do with what the Q people believe, but it tells you how Q made it from the butthole of the internet to Facebook where Meemaw and Papa are.
Yeah, or into a crunchy granola mom's anti-vaxxer group. How in the world did it end up there?
Ended up there not by the content, not by how good it is, not by how accurate Q was, because he wasn't accurate at all. It ended up there because these people know how to push this shit, because they have been doing it for a long time. These are the same conspiracy nuts that pushed the Pizzagate, the 9/11 truthers. These same people have gotten very good at manipulating a narrative and getting it into the mainstream. They've got it down to a science now.
Yes.
And even if the content is garbage, they can still make it happen. And that's an important part to this story because it's easy to dismiss and to think none of this matters. It's just a bunch of gobbledygook. But what you have to understand is that the people that are making it happen are really good at what they're doing. So good, they're probably better than your dismissal.
And by this point in 2020, they're having real world effect.
Oh, yeah.
As far as swaying voters.
Yes.
In the presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they're influencing people who might not have ever voted at all,
right,
to go out and vote for Donald Trump, and not in the traditional sense of campaigning for the president, but in the sense of fear-mongering and manipulating and telling false narratives.
Yeah, and I think that's going to lead us into talking about the next part of this is what do these people actually believe? Now that we're in 2020, what is Q saying now?
So you and I both recently listened to the Chris Hayes podcast.
Why is this happening podcast? Yes, great.
Specifically on QAnon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we both agree that Chris Hayes has a really good definition or summary of what QAnon members believe.
Yeah, he does.
In general.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that QAnon members believe that there's a figure named Q who posts on the internet with cryptic clues.
Yep.
About the inner workings of a global elite network of Democrats and Hollywood elites running a pedophile ring that Donald Trump is secretly fighting.
Yep, that's the essential belief in a nutshell. And that sounds insane, doesn't it?
That's completely crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to read that in a serious thought, but yes, that all the Democrats, and including me and you and anyone probably listening to this show, are all part of a secret pedophile ring. We're all trading kids around.
Yes.
So that the Hollywood elites and the Democrats at the top, like Joe Biden, can like eat the babies or something.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump is fighting that in secret, and he can't tell you that he's fighting it because he's like playing 5D chess.
Yeah, he's so above all the rest of us that he's being president on one hand, but under the dark of night.
Yeah, like Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, he's actually fighting these pedophile rings and saving children.
And taking no credit for it.
From these Democrats and Hollywood people who are sacrificing, trafficking, murdering kids.
Yep. And so if you've seen the Save Our Children or Save the Children posts, that's what that's referring to.
Yeah, that's QAnon.
Yep, they're saying save the children from the pedophile ring that Joe Biden and you and any other Democrat are a part of. That's what that means. And the reason I think they believe that, this is a really good point. I think they believe that because the truth of the matter is that a lot of kids in America are trafficked for sex and are abused. And that number is hard to accept. And the truth of the matter is that those kids are abused by pastors, soccer coaches, teachers, your neighbors, relatives. And that is a hard thing to grasp, to know that 700,000 kids get abused and it's by the people you know.
It's more often than not someone that they know.
And that is a lot harder to accept than that there's a secret group of evil dwelling Hollywood people who you happen to not like anyway, who are the ones causing that kind of damage.
It's much easier to blame it on them.
And that, I think, is the kernel that makes this whole thing go, is the scary truth of what actually happens in the world of why people are abused. And
it's also easy to appeal to most people.
Because no one's pro-child abuse.
No, absolutely not. So when you're saying hashtag save our children, of course people are going to get on board with that because no one supports or wants children to be abused or trafficked.
Exactly.
But little do these people know that this narrative was created by mm-hmm. an insane group of people mm-hmm. who believe that Donald Trump is fighting evil forces.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. demonic devil forces.
And by doing by bringing child sex abuse into it, there's this interesting thing that's happening right now in the world. And so like Ted Cruz and Nikki Haley and a bunch of people have come out against this movie, Cuties, that Netflix had made that was supposed to be showing how young girls are over-sexualized. That was the point of the film. And yet they claim that it was soliciting over-sexualizing children, which is like, okay, yeah, you got the point of the whole fucking movie. Way to go, Ted Cruz.
Congratulations. Zodiac killer.
Yeah, but then he comes out and says, oh, well, I'm very much against this movie and I want to save the kids. And then when you imply, if you or I or any other Democrat was to imply, like, are you trying to wink at the QAnon people? They will get up on their high horse and say, what are you saying? It's not part of a conspiracy theory. Children are abused and now you look like the asshole.
Right.
So it's a way that they can code talk to each other without and have plausible deniability.
Right.
That they're courting these crazy alt-right conspiracy people.
And most of their communication does occur through code.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is Meemaw and Peepaw don't even realize that they're communicating via code when they share a post
exactly.
about save our children.
Exactly.
But they are.
Yeah. And so some older lady is like, oh, I want to save the children from sex abuse. And she posts a code that other people online know what it means. It means like black people are the devil and there's Jews eating babies. And Meemaw has no idea. She just likes saving the children. And that's the trickery of this whole thing. That's the deception. That's what's made this so scary.
There was this recent, remember the Wayfair
mm-hmm.
thing where people genuinely believed that children were being trafficked through yeah. Wayfair.com, you know, yeah. like the home uh-huh. goods store?
Yeah, because they found a cabinet that was like $30,000. It was mistakenly priced and it was named like Claire. Mm-hmm. And so the assumption was that if you paid $30,000, they would ship you the child.
The child named Claire, because what they were doing was they were finding mm-hmm. missing children with mm-hmm. these same names
yeah.
and saying, well, no one's going to pay $30,000 right. for a stupid mm-hmm. cabinet named Claire.
Right.
But they'll pay $30,000 uh-huh. for a child yeah. named Claire.
And it's hard to argue with that kind of logic. It's it's foolproof, really.
But they believed it.
I know.
And
they're insane.
You don't Facebook. I do. That thing circulated Facebook for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Before I think the mainstream news picked it up and was like, no, this is not the case. And poor Wayfair, you know, they're getting like hate mongered on Twitter and online.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. If you're listening and you think that this is just crazy people online, I'd like to tell you a little story. I work at a place with a lot of right-wing people, but there is one car in particular that has a sticker on the back of it, and it's a black oval, you know, like the stickers that are oval and just have letters in the middle.
This is one of your coworkers' cars. Mm-hmm.
And on the car is a black oval, and it says WWG1WGA. And then tiny, tiny letters beneath that. You wouldn't be able to read it unless you get up on the car. Hashtag QAnon. And what that WWG1WGA means is where we go one, we go all. And that is a rallying cry of QAnon. They love saying that. It's a thing that they're all in this together to save the babies. So she's all involved into that crazy thing. This is just somebody I work with. And I'm driving around. I'll drive around Western North Carolina. I see stickers that say that more often than you would think.
And the other thing that's interesting about that, because they use symbols
mm-hmm.
and code they to communicate
everyone
with each
else
other,
is.
They believe that everyone else is also using mm-hmm. code and symbol to communicate with each other. For example, because they support Donald Trump,
uh-huh.
they think that if you don't, if you
oh,
support
yeah.
Biden
mm-hmm.
and you support him by means of putting a sign in your yard,
yep.
you're not just showing your support for Biden, you're communicating with these other
yes.
Democrat
mm-hmm.
cabal
yep.
vampire child mm-hmm. sacrificer people, and you're communicating with people, with evil people, letting them know that you're
yep.
part of this child trafficking.
Uh-huh. So when they see a Biden sign, that's what they think about you. And you have yep. to understand that these people are in your community. You have talked to them.
And the reason that they're in your community is because this finally made its way to mainstream.
Yeah, there's a couple of things I kind of want to say about that. So what's interesting about this is that the libel, the slander that they're throwing on the Democrats is an old thing. It's called a blood libel, and it goes back to Middle Ages, Dark Ages, way, way back when people would say the Jews ate babies to stay alive. It got said about the gypsies, and it got said so much about the Jews that literally it got the name blood libel. So this isn't a new thing that they've made up. This is just a really old anti-Semitic trope repackaged.
Right, that they've brought into the now. Another one that they support or spread is that these Hollywood elites and liberal Democrats,
yes,
are members of this, what they call the Red Shoe Society or the Red Shoe Club.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this photo circulating of, I don't know, a couple dozen
Pelosi
people,
and some other,
all these like Democrats, the Clintons, I think, are even in it.
Oh,
maybe.
Yeah.
And they're all wearing these red shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And these QAnon folks believe that the shoes that they're wearing are leather made from the skin of children that they've had sacrificed in Italy.
Uh-huh.
They believe that.
I know. And they don't seem to understand that that idea is super, super old and super anti-Semitic and has been used for a long time to suppress a religion and a ethnic group of people.
Yeah. And it's also a pretty common horror story.
Yeah.
Too, just in just in terms of media.
Yeah. And if you look at the world history of it, it is constant that people are accusing each other of eating and drinking the blood of babies as a way to like other.
And they believe it's to remain in power and to remain youthful.
And they're going to talk a lot about what they call the Judgment Day or the Awakening, maybe sometimes they call it. It's this final day when Donald Trump is going to gather me and you and Chris Hayes and all of CNN and reveal to the whole
entire network of CNN's going to get lined up.
And they're going to take us all to Guantanamo Bay and reveal for the whole world this pedophile ring. And we're all going to be summarily executed in Guantanamo Bay. That's the end goal. That is what they want. And when they talk about, we can't wait for the Judgment Day, the Awakening Day, it's the day Donald Trump is going to kill all of us who aren't Trump-tards. So that is what these, so when you see these neighbors and you think this is harmless shit and you see the letters on the back of their car, I want you to know that they are hoping for the day when me and you and a bunch of like us will be executed in Guantanamo Bay for our crimes of child pedophilia.
Great.
I know. And I'm kind of anti me getting murdered, so I'm against this.
Yeah, I'm really not looking forward to that day.
Right. Mm-hmm. But they will preach it like it's the thing. And we need to talk for a second about this because they think that they are what they call red-pilled. And I wanted to discuss this a little bit. So in the movie The Matrix, he tells Neo, the chosen one, you know, you can eat the blue pill and you'll just go back to sleep and you'll live in your normal world and won't know anything. Or you can eat the red pill. And if you eat the red pill, you'll wake up and you'll see the machines and you'll be able to fight
the
Matrix.
You'll see the truth.
And he takes the red pill in the film. That's the whole thing. Now, a lot of these people will say that they are red-pilled. We're red-pilled. We know the truth. But there's a darker one. There's a much darker one. These people are people that call themselves black-pilled. And what black-pilled is that you know the truth and you know that it's going to lose. You know that everything is doomed and that the end of the world is coming. So there's no point to anything. It's a nihilistic approach. And so some of these people have taken a step past red pill to thinking they're awoke and they know about the Grand Awakening to being like, actually, I know that the world is doomed and that Jesus is coming and the end of the world is coming and there's no point in doing anything. And those people are even scarier than the red pilled people because they have reason to be nihilist, to not think that anything matters.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very scary. It's like your doomsday cults, your end of the world people.
Your end times.
When people think that they have nothing to lose and they become nihilistic, they become dangerous.
Yes.
And that's where these black-pilled people come in. And you have to understand they're part of this too.
And that's the interesting thing about this whole QAnon movement is the overlapping between different segments of people. Because you have people who might not otherwise have ever interacted with one another.
Oh, yeah. See, this is where we need to talk about how they have gotten women and crunchy granola hippie moms into this movement because that has
made
a huge difference.
Right alongside with religious zealots.
Right. They've used these Facebook groups. Facebook loves to group people. It's a big thing they love to do. Mm-hmm. And they've taken some of the alternative healing, pro-crystal groups, really granola mom anti-vax
groups. Like just rub some essential oils on him and right. he'll be fine.
And those people would not traditionally be considered right-wing at all. No. But it has gotten those women, and they're out protesting in the streets with Save Our Children signs.
And they plan on voting for Trump.
And they plan on voting for Donald Trump. And they have taken these people who, for no reason, would have ever really voted. They're actually pretty disengaged, the anti-medicine, anti-vax crowd. They're pretty disengaged from politics, and it's gotten them engaged.
Yes.
In a way that their numbers are going to show up. And there are old women. There's a woman in Minnesota who owns a mittens store who's the sweetest old lady. She has a Bible printed out of Q drops that she prays to. Yes. She prays to the things that Q says, these cryptic
and
clues.
That's where it kind of starts to overlap even a bit with religion in general.
Yeah.
Because it's not like people are just looking at Q as a side hobby or a side mm-hmm. gig. A lot of them are, it's morphing or it's becoming part of their own Christian faith.
Yes.
And in fact, there are even churches mm-hmm. now in our country that are preaching Q.
Yes.
They're Q churches.
Yeah, and every Q quote unquote drop, which is something that Q posts, it has a number. And they will read them out and they'll talk about their favorite drop and what number it is and what it means. And a lot of them will know, they can recite them if you say the number.
Which is very similar to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Like that whole thing, it's like religious. Mm-hmm. It's like a religious experience.
Yeah, except it's all built on all this crazy bullshit from these lunatics that I described from the shittiest part of the internet.
But they've been really smart mm-hmm. in how they have gotten a hold of people in mm-hmm. these different groups. Because they've appealed to the religious side. They've appealed to the mothering side,
mm-hmm.
the protecting of the children.
Yep.
But they've also set it up to where Donald Trump is basically like a messiah.
Yes, he is. He's their chosen one.
And then they also have the appeal to the anti-government,
mm-hmm.
militia,
mm-hmm.
alt-right type people.
Exactly. And that brings me to, in the news this week, there was a group of people who planned on kidnapping the governor of Michigan.
Yes.
You may have saw that, a right-wing militia group. I don't have any proof yet. They haven't said, but I guarantee you they were all up in this shit.
Most likely, yes.
I mean, it might not be the case, but it's those type of people.
Those are the same kind of people that yeah. would be involved.
But I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to find out they were all up in QAnon.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's been a case of a woman who was arrested with a bunch of knives in her van telling the police she was on her way to kill Joe Biden to save the babies. There's cases all over of things like that. There's tons I could cite of people doing these types of things, making real death threats to people over this.
And taking action to try to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. And that's pretty scary.
Yeah.
It's pretty terrifying.
It is.
And it's all coded too. So I think I was going to maybe read a couple examples of some Q drops so you can get an idea of the kind of shit.
Yeah, so when Q posts, it's called a drop.
Or a crumb. And if it's a crumb, then the people that put it together, they're the community of bakers. And if you look up the baker community, that is a thing. And those are the people who put together the Q crumbs into
and
something
try
that makes sense.
Yeah, they take these quote-unquote crumbs
mm-hmm.
and try to put them together or decode them
yep.
into something. Making sense or explaining
yeah.
what they mean,
and
translating.
I think this might be helpful for you to get an example of a Q drop. And if there's somebody in your life that is into Q or that you know, this is the kind of shit that is driving their way of thinking. Just remember that. Was the 25th Amendment, quote, arrow in the quiver planned? How long ago? Was it expected President of the United States would be in critical, and then in brackets, health state C-19? That's COVID-19. Recovery unexpected? Impossible to unwind? Next, mentally incapacitated C-19 language, brackets. People are dying, in brackets and in quotes. Safety and security to the well-being. Combat tactics, Mr. Ryan. Q. Yeah, that's insane, right? Like, that sounded like a bunch of gibberish. Some of it's in brackets.
Yeah, that's one drop. That's one.
Yeah,
that's
a drop. I think that was 8,000 something. I don't know. And it was to Paul Ryan, obviously, as Mr. Ryan. Here's another one. Shadow president. This is all in caps. Shadow president. Shadow government. Information warfare. Irregular warfare. Color revolution. Insurgency. Q. Like, that's it. That's the drop.
Okay.
And another one. This one is really crazy. Joe 30330, arbitrary? What is 2020 in brackets, current year in brackets, divided by 30330? Symbolism will be their downfall. Q. I don't know what any of that really means, It could mean anything, and that's the thing. That's how they're able to do it.
Yeah, and people eat it up.
See, I've just read that, and I guarantee you 90% of people's eyes glazed over because it's nothing. It's just words.
My eyes just, I have no idea. I don't even want to try to figure out what that means.
Yeah,
but
I do.
But I get it in the sense of if you're super into figuring out codes or translating,
yeah,
I could see how that would be appealing, and I could see how something like how you mentioned that second one was in all caps.
Yep.
I bet that signals.
Oh, yeah, it matters.
I bet all caps signifies something.
And some are in brackets. Some are in brackets with quotes.
All of it has some sort of meaning that these people just lap up and want to translate and understand. But to the rest of us, it's just garbage.
Right. Another common thing that they'll do is online, and this isn't just with QAnon. This is with all online, and I feel like our listeners should be aware. If you see three parentheses around someone's name, that means they're Jewish. That is a way that anti-Semitic people communicate online to say. So if they're going to talk about George Soros, they'll put three parentheses on either side of his name.
And that's also, well, that's way, their way of letting other white supremacist anti-Semitic people know that they too are anti-Semitic.
Right. And so if you've been on the line enough, you've seen a name with three parentheses around it and you probably didn't know what it meant. That's what it means.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way for them to symbol at each other. And if you hear these things and you start to see them more, that's because they're everywhere. I'm not making this. I spend a lot of time on the internet.
Yeah. So Facebook has become a hotbed.
Oh, yeah.
For QAnon members and QAnon messaging. And part of it has to do with how the groups work on Facebook.
Yeah.
You don't Facebook. I do.
Mm-hmm.
When you join a group on Facebook, their algorithm kicks in and begins suggesting additional groups for you to join that are similar to the first one that you signed up
right.
for. And the further in that you go in this topic of interest or subject, the deeper the groups become.
Mm-hmm. The more narrow.
Yeah. Specific. And so eventually over time, before you know it, let's say you start off with a very large missing children's support group where you're sharing photos of kids that have gone missing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real thing.
Yeah, it is a real thing.
And then you're suggested a group for Save Our Children.
Mm-hmm.
And you join that group.
Because you're like, yeah, I want to save the kids.
Yeah. So I'm supporting this movement. And then over time, eventually, before you know it, you're in this very niche, small focused group that's insane.
Uh-huh.
And you're eating it up.
Yep.
And it makes sense because if you're a Facebook user, eventually, your own feed gets very boring.
Yeah, yeah.
All you're seeing is posts from like the people you went to high school
with.
Yeah,
the same thing, yeah.
And
you want something more exciting.
Meemaw or Peepaw.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, ugh, this is not who I want to be communicating with.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go check my groups.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're a regular Facebook user, eventually your groups become where you want to be and where you spend the vast majority of your time.
Right.
And I could see how, with enough time in these groups, that you become indoctrinated to these insane beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And Q and the people supporting him have done a really good job of infiltrating.
Yes, they have. An amazing job.
Even the most like tame seeming groups and spreading their message.
Yep.
And now Facebook is finally acknowledging that they're the problem.
And they're cracking down, but they're having a hard time getting it.
I know that last month with their first QAnon ban, which was just where they shut down groups.
Yeah.
They shut down 1,500 QAnon groups and had millions.
About 3 million?
3 million members in these groups.
Something roughly, yeah.
So think about that. That's at least 3 million people involved in QAnon messages.
I'm telling you.
On Facebook.
I think a lot of people listening to this might think that they don't know anybody or they haven't seen anybody. You're wrong. You have.
You have. You probably just didn't know
it. You had no idea. Just like we were talking about earlier, those symbols can pass by you and you can not know, or they can trigger the shit out of you. And it doesn't matter if you know about what they mean or not. They're still there.
And you might even be someone who's sharing your own symbols without realizing it. Like I said, you're putting that Biden sign in your yard. They may honestly think that you're saying, hey, I'm smuggling children through my basement. Come on over, evil demon Democrats.
If your weird Trumpy neighbor who you didn't really get along with before starts acting really bad towards you now, it's not because politics have gotten so divided. It's because they literally have begun to think that that you're a child sex predator.
And whatever you do, do not buy a pair of red leather shoes.
Right. That's what has happened. And it's scary, but that's why we're doing this. I feel like everybody needs to know.
So now Facebook has taken it upon themselves to come down even harder on these QAnon groups. And this week, in fact, they overnight just started banning any and all groups related to QAnon and even individual accounts and pages that were sharing QAnon information. And kind of makes sense because Facebook is a huge platform.
Yeah.
And I think they realized that they were providing the medium for people to affect others.
Yeah.
Both in their safety and in terms of our own election here in the United States.
Yeah, I think part of the reason Facebook felt that it needed to get involved is something that we haven't mentioned yet, and that a lot of this COVID-19 conspiracy denial shit is coming from QAnon.
Yes, they are also heavily involved in the denial or the claim that COVID is a hoax.
Yep, and spread of misinformation about COVID, which is a life-threatening issue.
Which is also one of the ways that they were able to infiltrate the anti-vax moms groups, because they have supported the claim that this supposed vaccine is going to, put a microchip in you or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. NBC reporter Brittany Zielinski really said it well. She said 9 out of 10 of these people, the worst that's going to happen to them is they're going to alienate their friends and family completely forever. And the problem is 1 out of 10 of them, it's going to push them off the mental edge and they're going to go crazy and they're going to end up being one of those Karens in a store destroying all the masks.
Right. Mm-hmm. Not every person that shares a QAnon meme or quote is a physical violent threat.
They will just alienate themselves from everyone who loves them, which is bad enough, but ultimately not a threat. Whereas there is 1% of them that are going to do crazy shit and can infect other people with a virus and can do things that are really threatening to the rest of society. And that's the scary part. The 9 out of 10 I'm not as worried about. I mean, it sucks that they lose everyone in their lives, but Fox News has been doing that to people for a long time.
Yeah, it's not really new.
Yeah. So that part I can deal with. It's just that 1% that's scary. They decide to kidnap the governor or some kind of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And aside from just them being that crazy, there's the fact that we don't know who Q is. There's no definitive proof. I can't prove it. Nobody can. But we do know the people who are pushing it and who are in charge of it. And there are some people in the top of this QAnon thing that we do know who they are. And they are the worst people.
They're like the worst humans out there.
I felt really strongly that understanding these people, this Jim Watkins and this Paul Ferber and these other people, is really important to understanding what QAnon is, because it is these people.
It is. That's what they are pushing, their own narrative.
They're using Q.
They're using this medium to push their own beliefs out into mainstream.
And there's something you can learn. I got this from the Reply All podcast, but he was right. When you realize that someone's a liar, you can learn a lot about what they lie about. That tells you a lot about who they are. And so sometimes it might seem like realizing someone's a liar is a reason to dismiss them, but I think that it's not. When you realize someone's a liar, you can learn a lot about them by what they choose to lie about. And these people are all liars. And if you look at what they choose to lie about, it might reveal who they are. And I guess we kind of want to switch gears a little bit off of all of that craziness and present a new bit that we've been working on. We want to unveil this week. This bit is called the Mic Check Minute. And to understand how this bit works, when Amanda and I set up to record our beautiful podcast, we have to check the mics.
Right. Before you get started, you have to make sure that your sound is working properly.
Which means we just ramble.
Yeah, that means we both sit down at the microphones and we just start recording, talking or singing or whatever else, just to see if it's working.
And I have edited down a few of them into a 1 minute chopped and screwed remix version of
Wiki.
The Mic Check Minute. It's 1 minute long and we would like to unveil it here. So without further ado, the Mic Check Minute. Doing a mic, chickity check, gonna get you regularly wrecked. On my mic, chickity check, blow, blow.
Hello and welcome to the Carolina Snowflakes podcast, where two Southerners come to terms with their liberal snowflake tendencies. Fuck my cat. He's scratching the bed.
Well, we're doing another test.
Why are you whispering?
Am I whispering?
Yes.
How loud do I normally talk? Hey, Odin.
No, you talk way louder. Just talk like your normal self.
Okay. I'm going to talk like my normal self. Okay.
Hello and welcome.
Well, this is how I talk.
No, it's not.
This is how I talk.
You talk like this. And I'm Jason. M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E.
There. Oh, man. That is a great mic check minute.
That was fantastic.
I think it's a good bit. So we'll be continuing to do those. We'd love to hear if you liked it or not. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a comment on the mic check minute, you can always find us on our website at
CarolinaSnowflakes.com.
You can also find us on our Facebook at
Facebook.com/CarolinaSnowflakes.
And we would love to hear from you via email. We have an email at
CarolinaSnowflakes@gmail.com.
Gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Bye.